On page Kuf Samach Vav Bayom Da Kecha Tivus. Tivus, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Like we were learning last week, the Baruch Mosa is a Tiva. Our job is that our Tiva should be the same as his Tiva. That's what we're talking about. So we're actually up to footnote Reish Ayin Aleph. Reish Ayin Aleph. All of that's going on in the little Hakdama that we were learning last day of Shabbos. Reish Ayin Aleph, footnote on page Kuf Samach Vav. We're learning here in this maimer the mahalach of the Baal Shem, the Tony Baal Shem, on being mezgaber, and how to deal with not only to contend with our taivas, but how to use our taivas in a constructive way. Something that we've been learning about for many, many years. The sod is that even a person is learning and davening, he's on the program. But if he is somebody that's nimshach achre hagashmius, now nimshach achre hagashmius doesn't mean that he enjoys a meal or a good night's sleep. Nimshach achre hagashmius means that he's a mogushim dikim mensch. In other words, that he's shakua. He's immersed in Gashmias. He's nimshach acha Gashmias. Libo nase rachok. When a person is overly consumed, overly involved with this world, then the heart begins to stray. Vein ha'omid bekeshem Hashem Yisbarach. One cannot really succeed in keeping those two things, those two parts of himself, entirely healthy at the same time. And as the Chabas Lubavitch, we bring all this for him, say. In other words, if your intention is to be somebody that is filled with Gashmias and very, very much bound to Gashmias, and you want to be somebody that at the same time, Shkoyach, thank you. You enjoy. That at the same time is on fire with Dveikus Bashem, Zilaholech. It doesn't go together. Not because it's not nice, it just doesn't go. Zilaholech. It's also an inyan of Kishazek Kam, Zenoifel. When one is doing very, very well, the other one is not important to you. It just is not important. V'nishmasom eskases beklipas shul nimshach aleihem. You know, nowadays every single food has to have a label with all of the inyanim that are going on in there. You know, you have to be like a chemist to understand. Anyway, probably most of it's not even true. But it says on all the labels about this calories and the how many of the energy and the protein effect, all of the stuff that has on the back. You know, there's what's the hidden content of this Michael, of this food that you're eating? If it would be possible to have, you know, the klipas that would be, you know, if it would also have the ruchnis dikke content, the klipas, there's a thickness that comes with overindulging. Again, not talking about normal, healthy eating the Shem Shemaim, like we learned at the beginning of the Sefer. Garmam l'nishmas or shlotagish, es mesikus haruchnius. If you're too caught up in the mesikus and the sweetness of, I'm just using the taiva of achila as an example, but there are other taivas, of course, as well. But if you're too caught up in that sweetness of the taivas, so then you lose your taste for the sweetness of Yiddishkeit. You just lose your taste. You lose that sweetness of Yiddishkeit. V'nimtzu shu ma'abe b'shvil hanaz rega, es kol eichus avadas v'chayiv. So for that momentary pleasure, for that pleasure of that mesikus, you could lose the whole eichus, the whole quality of your avodas Hashem could be lost. V'mikrim chamurim noifel lagamir rachman l'slan, depending upon to what degree you're indulging in taivas, and how much of that momentary sweetness you want, and you're allowing yourself, you could fall altogether, chalil, into the klipas altogether. Mida tovim ruba. And of course, in a positive way, it's much more kasha. Adam zoich l'skadesh l'sgaber. When a person is miskadesh, when he lives a life of kedusha and he's misgarb, and the life of his garb is, again, remember, not talking here about fasting or anything like that, but a life of kedusha and his garbers. As a miskarv l'Hashem Yisbarach, then he was a kli for his karvus. He's a kli to be close to Hashem. Bezarich lahargish or so, and you could feel, you begin to feel the ruchnius. You could feel the ruchnius. And you're able to experience that tanug, that deep pleasure, that joy of kirvus alakim, of closeness to Hashem. Kirvus alakim litov. Which David Melech said, kirvus alakim litov. This is the tova of my life, kirvus alakim. Umimela chayev b'chol en yonim misroim him. And this person's life, b'chol enyanim, and everything, becomes elevated. The teroso, tefiloso, his davening, his learning, b'chol avadaso, olam l'ramah acheres. Everything ascends to a higher level. Bli shir, you can't even compare to the person who's shaku and gashmi is, taivis. And again, we're talking about somebody who's shaku, who's in taivis, but is davening and learning his shamash shabbos and shamash mitzvos and so on. You can't compare the two people. You can't compare one to the other. And the purpose of this mimer is to understand the chshivas of this. And when a person understands the chshivas, when a person begins to think about this and realize this, it helps him to have more koiches lama b'nisayin, to be stronger. We have to remember that when Hashem gives a person a nisayin, a test, it's not just that Hashem is checking him, that Hashem is testing him to see whether he can succeed. We were also raised thinking like, you know, that Akedah, the Akedah Yitzchak way of thinking, which we never understood the Akedah Yitzchak either, what that means. And Hashem has to find out. Hashem doesn't know who we are. With a test, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on your case, as they say in the vernacular. It means HaShem Baruch is giving you an opportunity to make yourself into somebody greater. It's not an examination. It's not midterms. It's not finals. It's an opportunity to become greater, to become stronger. That's what a nisayin is. Ela tomen bezes yaita dishmayu umafteach godol ma'od. It's a key. Shayodahu yochel achshav liskei smayit. A nisayin is hard, but you know the most important things in life are hard. And it's a nisayin. The nisayin is an opportunity to be zeichet to something much, much greater. To make yourself to a person that's much greater, much bigger than before. That's what nisayin is. When a person looks at it in that way, as a message of love from Hashem, not Hashem is just giving me a hard time. Oh, my nisayin is Hashem is giving me such a hard time. He's just bothering me. And why is he putting me through this? All these lishayinus of negativity. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like Chazal say that Hashem only tests, gives nisayin, or Hashem only works with a kli. The kli is a kli that can handle it. And Hashem gives us these nisyanis of life. That doesn't mean that they're easy. It doesn't mean that they're pleasant. Whatever the challenges are, with kids, with marriage, with taivas, so to be zarchit to something greater. The male, when a person is zayicha to fight and to be misgaber, Zoche la hamshech shefa atzum beruchnius of Gashmius. He's zoche to draw down the tremendous shefa of ruchnius through that his garbus, which we're going to learn more about in the Maimer. The etzem his garbus, when a person is victorious in that melchama against this particular taiva, and he succeeds to be and he's mezgarba in the nisayin, it infuses him with a simcha. It infuses him with a koyach of kedusha. And all of us have felt that when we have that ruach of hiskarbus, we feel that in a very clear way. V'idias v'havanas gadol ha'revach sheyesh b'hiskarbus. And when a person knows this, he experiences this, and he understands that what he can gain, the revach, the profit that comes by being mezgaber, by being strong in these tests, nosenes koach v'cheshek lizgaber. That gives you more of a koach, more of a cheshek next time to be mezgaber. Gives you a koach and a cheshek to be mezgaber. V'afilum chas shalom kva nichshel b'hachatoyim. Even if a person's record in the past hasn't been great, and he has failed many times, kedailo lizgaber me'achshav. It's still, of course, always kedailo to start now. Ki tomet psuchim lefan of shar ha-tshuva. Because the gates of tshuva are always open. V'yizkel hidabik b'Hashem ezbarach l'shvayimim. And it could always be mizdag b'Hashem to l'shvayimim and to become greater. Back on top on page kuf samuzayim. L'chein chover l'inu l'ilmod is darach yizgar v'slatav. So now we're going to learn, again in the nusach of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the avoda of yizgar v'slatav. Unlike what many people think, that in our generation it's impossible to be misgaber, that Hashem has brought down into the world such things that it's impossible for a person to be misgaber. And many of the speeches that are out there nowadays give these predictions of gloom and doom that our generation has in the Sionis, that how could one be misgaber? How could it's in the Sionis of our generation? The only thing you could do is to try to destroy the Nisyonis. This has never succeeded in all of history, in every generation. B'cholda v'adar, I'm the Malena L'chalosein. I'm not talking about anti-Semites, that's something else. But Nisyonis in every generation, they're Nisyonis. 100 years ago, so whatever, communism, socialism, there's always going to be Nisyonis. So whenever a person thinks that the way to deal with Nisyonis is to remove them from the world, that never works. Because there's always going to be Nisyonis. You can't remove them from the world. Each person in his life is always going to have Nisyonis. Whether it's Nisyon in different midas of Kaz, or Zvizas, or it's Nisyon with Taivas, you can't get rid of the Taivas. Like I've joked very often over the years, it's a joke, but like any good joke, there's a nakuda of seriousness, and it's that yes, it would be very, very nice if all of the Nikavas could be put on a boat and taken away someplace, and then the guys would have no more Nisyonis with the Nikavas. It's not going to happen. The Nikavas are around. Oh, Hashem. That's what life is. And a person has to go to work, so they say, no, when you can't go to work because at work there are Nisyonis. So this is, I've heard this many times, this Nusach. That being at work is not proper for a Yirei Shamayim because it's filled with Nisyonis. Okay, don't work on Broadway or in Hollywood or something like that. And we try as much as possible if one can be in a kosher environment. Baruch Hashem, nowadays a lot of people can work from home. If it's possible to be in a good environment, that's wonderful. But when was there ever such a mahalach that like the Tevi shouldn't go around delivering milk because who knows who he's going to, this lady's going to come out from the house and say, good morning, Reb Tevi, good morning, Reb Tevi. So Tevi says, comes back and says to Goldie, I'm sorry, honey, I can't go collect milk. I mean, I can't give out milk anymore, this shyness. Can you imagine what Goldie would have done to him? Yeah, she would have dropped a cow on his head. I can't. This shyness, you're going to have to go to work. I can't. Too many Nisyonis out there. It's a bad world. It's a dangerous world. I can't go to work. When was there ever such a... So the terrorists, when you asked that, the terrorists said, the world was never so disgusting like it is now. It's not true. Every generation that feels that inion of disgust, the same way we feel our disgust now, that's just how it is. But 50 years ago, I remember I mentioned many times my father, Chalav Racha, would say when he got off the boat, he came to America, he said, the people are not dressed here nice. He couldn't believe it. So what did that mean in 1948, how people were dressed in Manhattan? So what it meant, sometimes they wore a shorter sleeve. I mean, what did it mean in 1948? If you look at the movies from 1948, and there they're making the movies, they want to make it as exciting as possible. What was 1948 on the street in Manhattan was compared to now? It's a joke, right? But for them, in that time, it was seen as something which is horrible. How could they dress like that? Were they dressed? Were they walking around over here? I told you, my father said that when the first day he got off the boat, he said there was a lady that was walking a little dog, and the dog had a sweater on. So my father said to his brother, some other places, the people don't get dressed and the dogs aren't dressed. My father told me, what that? He said, a dog has a sweater. He couldn't believe it. He said, we couldn't afford, the brothers shared the same jacket to go outside. And he says, and the dog has he goes with a sweater, the dog. So they didn't have Nisayon. He said, there was Nisayon. Every generation. So there's this Machshava that I'm not going to have Nisyanis, not because I'm going to be misgaber. I'm going to eliminate them. Because they won't be in my life. It's a lahalecha. It never, that way of thinking never works. And it never makes you into a gavarab, into a person. Never works. Yeah, it's true. We try, listen, the alcoholic, the former alcoholic, stay away from Kiddush, stay away from Shalom Zachar. You know, you try your best. That's fine. You should stay away from the drink, stay away from the taiva. One should, of course, try one's best to stay away from all the things that are pulling. Of course. But to think that you're going to never confront that again, it's not going to happen. You're not going to have somebody, so you're not going to go to anybody's vart or something, and someone says to you, want to have a l'chaim, and you're not going to be able to say no. Say, well, I tried to avoid the schnapps for the last 3 weeks. I didn't go to a Kiddush. I didn't go to a Shalom Zacha, but you're my best friend. I had to go to your heart, and you offered me a l'chaim. So I'm gonna go back into the alcohol. And, you know, 12 steps, here I come. What do you mean? He's going to offer you a l'chaim, and you know what the answer has to be? No. Shkoyach, I love you. L'chaim, l'chaim. But take a ginger ale. L'chaim, toim l'chaim. But to think there's not going to be any alcohol at the l'chaim, l'chaim is l'chaim because there's going to be alcohol there. So you try, it's good. Try to avoid it, try to stay away. But then it's there. And when there are other types of taivas that, benkach, when it comes to eating, I mean, you have to eat. So there's going to be food. That means that there's food in the house. It means you have to be able to say no to the stuff in the cabinets and the refrigerator. What are you going to do? You're going to tell your wife she shouldn't go shopping, there shouldn't be any food in the house. You're just going to have a Coke Zero sitting in the refrigerator. This is us. And she wants to bring to the table, especially for the kids or this company, she wants to bring some designers. She wants to serve a nice meal, to have a nice dessert. And you're going to be upset. How could you do that? You know that I'm dieting. I'm such a bad type. What are you doing? You're bringing my biggest enemies to the table. She can say, where are we? So you diet, but that doesn't mean the company and the kids can't have a piece of designers. Yeah, but I can't say no. We have to get rid of all the mezainis. No, you have to be able to be a strong person and to look at this piece of cake in the eyes and to say, love. That's called hisgarbus. And from that, no comes, a person becomes great. A person doesn't become great from hiding and running away. One could try that as much as possible. That's okay. And that we should avoid, like the Gemara tells us, to avoid places and things that are... We know that it's Yiras Shamayim not to go to places, to stay away from bad places and situations where the Nisyanis are obvious. We try our best to stay away. But the Leis Breyer, you're in the world, things happen. So if you don't develop your muscles, if you don't develop a koach of hisgabrus and hiskachas, so that you're bound to meet up with something that's gonna be a Nisayan. And if you never developed your koaches in the avod of hisgabrus, so then you lose. You lose. Now, this is everything nowadays is how our children shouldn't have any nisyanis. They shouldn't have any nisyanis. This way, they won't. They won't have to be misgaber because they're never going to be able to be misgaber. The whole way of thinking now is not about hisgabers. It's not about milchama. It's not about hisgabers. It's about avoidance. It's not about hisgabers. And since benkach or benkach, Baruch Hashem, life is much better than it used to be. So the milchamas, the battles of life, are very different than they used to be, in terms of just surviving. So our children are not being raised as soldiers. They're weak and frightened and vulnerable and fragile, pathetic little creatures that anything that comes their way, they can't handle. They fall apart. But anything that comes their way, if somebody disagrees with them, follow me. That's what's going on. There's no hisgabrus at all. There's no giburim at all. There's no gvur at all. No hisgabrus, to be misgabrus, to be a gever. To be a gever, to be able to say no, or to be able to hear somebody insult you, and to say zloch partly, you know, I don't care. It's the same inyan, but when it comes to kinna, taiva, kavod, all these things, for a person to be a person of his garbus. You have now someone tonight. In shul, and Mir Shasham is going to be a beautiful island, and invariably someone's going to take somebody's seat. And then you have a situation where a person says, well, I'm not going back to shul, to a shul like this. There's such a thing, like, you couldn't be misgaber on that. It's the Indian like that. You couldn't be misgaber. No, you have to go to another shul. And you know that those people are their whole lives looking for different shuls. Because there's always going to be somebody that sits in your seat. That's just how life is. Unless you're the rabbi, then maybe you have your own seat. No. Honestly, I couldn't care less. That's the truth. But someone sits in your seat. It happens in life. Someone sits in your seat. No, that's vas. That's vas. And then the other people didn't stand up for you. Oh, this is stoyman amayra. And then you go looking for another shul. And then you have a big knock over there, and you have your own seat, and everybody's mechabed you until they're not mechabed you. Until someone sits in your seat, and then the same thing like Eish Kodesh, the Rishoyim, and they're going to go to another shul. Unless you live in Louisville or something, Kentucky, and you only have one shul in town. Maybe there's more. I don't know, it could be this Chabad and a few shuls, I'm not saying. But then you run out of shuls. And you have no other shul to go to, so what are you going to do? So you don't go to shul. Is that what it is? You can't be misgaba, a shtickle covet, a taiva for covet. A taiva for covet, where you put yourself down, you can't... A little as garbage of COVID, that this is something. No, the answer is I'm going to run away and go to a place where I'm not tested in this sugya of COVID. There's no test of COVID. Where is that? Where the mechabed make his seder. Until they're not mechabed you. That always happens. That always happens. The only alternative is for you to be a big person. And when you're a big person, it makes no difference anywhere in the world where they're not mechabed you. You couldn't care less. Because you're misgabra, and that whole nakuda, that whole inyan of kavod like that is narishkeit. It's such narishkeit. But invariably, you're going to meet up with these things. The person's not mechabed you. And then this guy who already started off young, usually that's with older people, they need of kavod. It's not such a type. It's not a strong taiva by kids. The union of COVID is not strong. It's mostly by older people. But these are at every point in life, there are different nisyanis and there are different taivas. By old people, the big nisyan is COVID. That's a very big nisyan, COVID. By younger people, it's the taivas that are strong. Different taivas. But COVID. If COVID's a goel nefesh, the whole union of COVID, of where you sit and how people treat you and how they look up to you. And this guy, goes to his wife and, I'm the king of the house over here. And this guy is pounding his chest like he's King Kong. And this whole thing is still, but it's going to happen to you in life. You're going to have these nisyanis. And the biggest ones are in your own house, not in shul. In your own house. Aleph. Okay, so that's the sentence upstairs over there. In our generation, we could also miss Gamba. It's the same Torah. Lotei Mechlaf is like we have from Reb Sadigon. The Torah works in every generation. It works. You can't say, last generation it worked for me, but it can't work in this generation. The Nisyanis are too crazy. It can't work. That's how Bikaris is. The Torah works in every generation. In every generation, the Torah works. You're not using it properly. But the Torah works in every generation. There's no such thing that doesn't work now. It used to work, and now it doesn't work. What do you mean? It means you're not learning it properly, you're not understanding it, and you're not using it properly. But if you understand it and you use it, the Torah will work in Tav Shin Pei Gimel. The Torah will work just fine. And everybody can be at Tzadik and Tav Shin Pei Gimel too. Aleph Ha'ar Eloki Tanuk Shebechol Dor. U'tchil Tzarech Lahav Nachon. As Inin HaTaivas. First, we have to understand what a Taiva is. Again, this is chazara for most of us. We've spoken about this over the years, but to put everything into context. First, understand, what is a taiva? Tzarech lohav nachon es inyan ha-taivas. What's this inyan of taivas? Ves tachlisan. And all tachlis of taivas that has made us in such a way. Ki b'zei yakal alov lam v'kenegam. When you understand something, then it's easier for you to deal with it. When you understand what a taiva is, then it's easier to contend with it. The koach of the seichel of the mind is very great. The mind is very strong. And when a person uses his mind, effectively, he could deal with any nisyanis. When a person uses his mind in the right way. Therefore, when the mind understands, the clearer it is to one's mind, this whole inyan of what a taiva is, when you understand what it is, b'sichlo, kach yesh lo yoser korach lehizgaber, so too you'll have more of a korach to mizgaber. Look, if you have a little kid, and this little kid has seen, you know, some cartoons or some shows about monsters and scary things, So he lies there at night, you know, afraid under his blanket about monsters and so on. The more the kid understands that there's no such thing as monsters. There's no such thing. It was just a show. It's nothing. There's no monsters. There's nothing. There are no ghosts or monsters. You have no ghosts in the room. The kid's scared about ghosts. There's no such thing as a ghost. It's a show that doesn't exist. So even for a little child, the more education he gets, the more his seichel understands that there is no such thing as a ghost. It doesn't exist, a ghost. So then he'll be able to mizgabra and this pacha that he has of being afraid of something that doesn't exist. So the seichel understanding it in a clear way. So as we get older, there are other things that make us meshuggah, it doesn't really exist the way that we think that exists, and you have to be magbe the koach haseichel to understand that. Tach yeshli yoza koach lezgaber, then you'll have more koach to mezgaber. And we see this in a very good marshal for this to understand. Look at Reish Ayin Beis down on the bottom over there. The marshal, Otav Shamagish Ayofus Gedol. Let's say a person is very tired, he's exhausted. He's totally wiped out. He has no koch for anything. So this guy is lying there. He's lying there. You know, he had a very hard day, and he came back at the end, and he lies himself down, you know, like in a lounging chair in the backyard. And he's finished. He can't move, and his wife needs a lot of help, and the kids are screaming in the house, right? And the wife really could use his help. He says, "Honey, you know, it's the worst day of the year. I'm just exhausted." Now, guess what happens? All of a sudden, like a black bear shows up. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. All of a sudden, the guy has some koiches, right? Im tovus hakon rachman l'slan. If all of a sudden, like there's something scary, there's some sakon. All of a sudden, miad yim tzabatz mekoiches lahatzil. It's amazing. All of a sudden, he has big koiches. The guy's running like Jesse Owens. You heard of him? So the guy, mamish can move. This guy can move. Where's the koich of his garbers? Or if Chalila, he sees one of his kids in trouble, Right. Goes like a lion. Mamish, he has a koach of his garbus. He was sure that he didn't have any koach to do anything that at that moment. He was wiped. He couldn't move. Turns out it's not true. It's not true.
I'm sorry, I have a problem with this. Because that's the same thing when Rebbe says, Nova would it ever by Ni'ilo and Yom Kippur think about any title. So these are one-off things. If a black bear comes, the adrenaline comes. You can only do this so many times. It doesn't always
work. We can train ourselves to do it much more often than we do it. I'm not saying always. I know it's very hard. But we can train ourselves to use this much more. You know, in my house, this is one of the words that my father didn't allow us to use. I was never allowed to say, I'm tired. No. From when I was little, my father said, what are you tired for? My father said, you could say that you're sleepy. But you're tired from what? What are you tired from? What did you do that you're tired? And sometimes it would slip out from my mouth, you know, at the school or after coming back from, like, you know, 4 hours of football or something. Oy. When I saw him meet, you know, I'm tired. My father said, what are you tired? What do you do that you're tired? And my father said, say better that you're sleepy. Don't say that you're tired. He had an Indian like that. You're right. Sometimes we feel like it's just not shy. But what we're learning is that we have many, many more times we could find that adrenaline inside of ourselves if we use the Koach HaSeichel. Many more times. Think of yourself like when it comes to learning. Right? So tonight's a long Friday night. So I'm having a little bit of a tissue tonight. Hope Hever will come. But, you know, you're sitting there. So last Friday night. So I'm looking forward the whole year to these Friday nights. And so I was sitting there last Friday night. And I was after by myself, because my family all went to family Shavuot Brachos in Brooklyn. I was by myself. And it was mamish. I made Kiddush. I sang Zemiras. I said a Dvar Torah. It wasn't so good. And I was by myself. And the whole thing was finished. Like, I had this in my life. I love my family. It's always be there, but it happens. Am I so like this? And I was by myself. It must have been 7:15. 7:15, I didn't clean up. I put a little plastic tablecloth, so I shouldn't have to clean up. You understand? On top of the tablecloth. Yeah, rolled it up. It's a nice thing to clean up. So I'm there at 7:15. 7:15 on a Friday night. No phone calls going, nothing. 7:15. So I opened the safe that I was looking the whole week. I'm looking forward to this. And by like a quarter to eight, I'm like this. And I say to myself, Maisha, it's a quarter to eight. Where are you going? Like, what's going on? You never go to sleep at a quarter to eight. Like, why are you doing that? You know how many times we could just... It's dimyonis. So what, I'm tired? No, it's a certain inyan, the avira, and there are other things that create this dimyon of exhaustion or of something. That then he could say, no, I'm getting older and I'm hopping a drum, you know, all these different things. There are ways that we're talking about that a person can be misgaber. It doesn't have to be, Chalila, something dangerous. The marshal of danger, we understand because the adrenaline gets going. There's a chemical that I show. But we could get that chemical. It doesn't have to be a black bear or a scary dog. We can get that going. Like if a person inside of his head sees this as a sakana, not sakana for one's life, that's crazy, but as a lost opportunity and something which is important to me. You see, my adrenaline gets going because my kid is important to me, and there's something that my kid fell off the swing, and that's important to me. So I jump off of my chair even though I was tired, because my kid's important to me. So I jump off the chair because the kid fell off the swing, and I'm going there to help him. It's important to me. So one can increase the awareness of importance of this moment of Limanat Torah. And that gets the adrenaline going. Not that's going to be scared. That's just a marshal. But to increase and to intensify the chashivas. We can do that. To intensify the chashivas. To make it clear in our minds that this is something that This is so valuable. Don't let yourself slip off into that world. And what are you going to do? You're going to go to sleep here at 8 o'clock, and you're going to. So to be mechazik oneself, and to get the adrenaline going, to self-induced release of adrenaline without anything dangerous, we can do that. And the avoda is an avoda of seich. Listen, if a person, we see from the Kadmonim such a shyness. So you have somebody that's walking in the street, and there's a woman that's walking, and she's not dressed properly, and there's an Ingiv Shemir Zainayim, right? So you don't see that as dangerous. But if you would see that as something that's as dangerous, not dangerous, physically dangerous, not in danger, but if you would understand that this is that you're endangering your Yirat Shamayim, and you're endangering your whole Kedusha of a Jew by looking at something that's not right, to the extent that you understand that, and the danger of that to you, and the Shama becomes clearer, you can get your adrenaline going. You could. I'm not saying it works all the time, but you can get the adrenaline going. You have to be mechazik, that awareness in your mind, that this is not just, what's the big deal, what happens, so every now and then you take a look at it. No, it's dangerous. This is dangerous. This is harmful to my neshama. This is bad for me. The guy can't stay away from the little l'chaim. The guy's been an alcoholic for his whole life. He finally is clean, and now he says a little bit of a l'chaim. That's dangerous. And to understand that it's dangerous. What do you mean it's just a little bit of a l'chaim is going to make my friend happy? It's dangerous. Or the guy that's addicted to something else, and it's just to look at a little bit of thing on the computer for a second to I've been so good, so I'm going to take a little bit of a look. It's dangerous. It's not, danger is not only a black bear. You have to be able to understand that there are things that are dangerous to one's neshama, and to strengthen that awareness of how dangerous is it to my neshama. But if a person doesn't know what the neshama is, and his whole mahalach in life is just the way they talk here, the nusach of America, what's so bad about it? So if you think about it, the main thing is you're not doing anything, or the main thing is you're not hurting anybody. This is all a nusach of America, right? I'm not hurting anybody. And anyway, what's the avera to think about something? You're finished. It doesn't work. When a person has to say to oneself, no, this is a sakana, this is an isayin, and I have to be misgaber, and I'll do my best to be misgaber. So you have to have the proper mindset to see this moment as a moment of opportunity, and you're being attacked by something that's dangerous to you, and understand that this is a danger to your whole metzias in this world and the next world, because the black bear can only hurt you in this world. The black bear is not harming you in the next world. But if chalila you give in to some taiva, you're harming yourself in this world, and you're harming yourself in the next world. And if you don't think you're harming yourself in this world, but you're for sure harming yourself in the next world. So it's having that clarity of recognizing the danger and the opportunity. So just in the bottom of there in Reishayin Beis, Miyad Yimsa Ba'atzma Karchas La'atzel. So all of a sudden he finds he has the karch. When he understands, when he sees it, this is something that's dangerous, even though he was exhausted, he was so tired, he couldn't move. All of a sudden he has all the karchas to do whatever he has to do. The stories of people that were there facing in an accident, in a shipwreck, something, and what they were going through, and the karchas that people had at a time of a milchama, at a time of a war, the karchas that people find in themselves. You remember the story from the Klausenberger Schuss, Elena? I've told a number of times over the years, I'm sure you remember that after the milchama, after the war, he never let his gaboyim carry his gemaras and svarim for him. He used to come in to give a shia with a lot of svarim, and he used to push them away, and he used to carry the svarim. And before the milchama, when he was a young rabbi in Europe, he had the gabba carry this, and the gabba was carrying that, and he would walk in with his stick, and like a rabbi's go. And he went in, into the shia. And he didn't let them after the milchama. And he said, and the gabba said, what rabbi? So the rabbi said, during the milchama, the Yamach Shemamdikas, they made me carry iron rails from a train, from railroads, and I had to carry boulders. And I saw that I was able to carry them. That's what he said. And I have to have people carry my Gemara around. It was his Gabras. that he was relishing his garbus and kedusha, because he saw that even though he thought that he was a, that perhaps he was like a weekly tzaddik, you know, that sat and learned day and night, and he wasn't a strong person. He said, "I found out by the Nazis that I was taka. I had certain koiches I didn't know that I had, and I want to continue using them. That's all. I will continue using them. I don't have to. You don't have to carry my gemara for me. I know how to carry my gemara." It's a great story. It's a simple story, but it's a great story. And without, and even he articulated it because of, you know, because he was the Klausenberger. But that's how Jews from earlier, that we see Jews from an earlier time, that because of the nesayis that they had, even in Gashmias, that they were, when they got older, they were gibarim. There was a gvura that now there's, you know, that it's not the same thing. There was a certain gvura because of the circumstances of life, even if it wasn't the Holocaust, but this life was harder. And they were used to contending with difficulties. It wasn't, you know. Now, for a kid to go from breakfast to recess is already that stretch, like from 9 o'clock to whatever 10:30 out or whatever. It's just like, what am I going to do? How am I going to manage this? What's going to be with me? And as adults, we're not much better. To go for an hour without a snack, how am I going to manage this? They never had to go for 2-3 years without eating, with eating grass. So how can I be mezgaber? But the earlier generations, thank God we don't have these kind of nesiyonos, but they were from an early age. These were people that were gibarim. And I see this with the chevra nowadays, with those kids, that they had to overcome certain inyonim. They had to fight against certain things, and they had to go through all kinds of tzaris and with rehab and b'chulei b'chulei, that they become very, very, very strong people. They become gewaltige people, strong people. So sometimes I'll get a call about a shidduch and something, and the person will say, "Yeah, we heard that this guy went through a hard time. So that's not for our daughter, you know, if that's true, that he did go through a hard time." And I say, you know, I understand what's bothering you. I understand what you're worried about. You know, whether he's totally healthy and clean, I understand. But I want you to know that the fact that he went through that doesn't make him less marriageable. It makes him more marriageable. If he's finished with it, not if he's still in it. That makes him more marriageable. It doesn't make him less marriageable. You want somebody for your daughter who never went through nisyonos, because your little girl, of course, never had nisyonos, so you only want to get a guy that never had nisyonos. But you're going to find some boy that never had nisyonos. Over the years, I've learned that the boys have nisyonos. It's just whether you find out about him or not. But he wants for his daughter somebody that never had nisyonos. The ones who make the best fathers and the best husbands are the ones who are misgarbed on the nisyonos. The ones who know how to overcome nisyonos and have dealt with nisyonos. Because if you haven't, even if the kid never had nisyonos when he was growing up, such a thing, then when he's married, he's for sure going to have it. Right after Shavuot, because the nisyonos can have plenty of nisyonos all the time. And nobody ever said no to him in his life. And all of a sudden, his wife said, "No. You said no to me? My mother never said no to me." "Yeah, I said no to you. You're wrong. My mother never told me I was wrong. I was always right." "No, I think you're wrong." "Oh, he's already calling up his rabbi. He's gone to Bezdin. You understand? It's finished." My wife said to him, "What's the matter with you? Nobody ever said to you that you're wrong. You see it like this nowadays." And that's the one that he wanted for his daughter. The one who never heard anybody tell him that he's wrong. Because he thought his daughter was also never going to tell the husband that he's wrong. But of course she is. And then everybody has to grow up in a perfect world. But that's not how it is. It's not how it is, what it says in all the nice Jewish magazines. That's not real life. And then when you come to real life, so those people who are they're battle scarred. They were in the war. but they won. Those are the strongest people in the world. Those are the strongest people in the world. Again, I'm saying that in a general way. One has to always be aware of inyanim and issues that could potentially be a problem. I'm not going to any pratim, but just I'm talking about bichlal, that a person was able to deal with his issues in life and to overcome them doesn't parcel him up. I've had this conversation so many times with people. It doesn't parcel this person up. It doesn't make him puzzles. He heard that there was a year or two that he wasn't into learning and so on, and now he's on. That doesn't parcel him up. Just the opposite. He made himself into a great person. He was able to overcome things that were pulling him the other way. And that was his own decision. Things didn't go well. It didn't go easily for him in life, and he became a great person. So what does that parcel him up? That makes him into more harsh of a person, not a less harsh of a person. I don't know. That seems to be obvious, but it's not so obvious. Everybody wants this should be without nisyanus. It's the same mahalach that they want their daughters. They want to marry their daughter to somebody that known nisyanus, and they want to make sure that my daughter has known nisyanus in life. That these kids are just going to have everything will be nice for them and good for them. Everything will be paid for. Everything will be taken care of, and that doesn't make great people. That's just how it is. It's never worked. You don't make great people like that. Everything's taken care of. It just doesn't make great people. The likelihood is that it's going to make weak people, not great people. And that's why everybody's running away from the Nisyanis, because since the Chevra is weak, so we have to try to keep them away from any Nisyanis. That's why I've spoken about this so many times, that you have to make sure that there's nobody not from in your building, you know, in Yerushalayim or on your block, that your kids should never see anybody that's not from. Because who knows? Who knows? He who knows that this kid on the block, you know, he might be friendly with him, or even by watching this kid that's not from, it might influence my kid to be not from. I've heard these things. But forget about having like a sleepover. Just any by association, if my kid sees that there's a hechet timsa to be a Jew, or to even be Orthodox, but not to be in our nusach of what we say is Orthodox, that might pull my kid off the davar. What did you produce? That's how weak your kid is? The answer is yes. Because now, even though when I was growing up in our school, we had all different kinds of kids from all different backgrounds. I've told this to you many times. I had in my class, we had kids on Mechallel Shabbos, and we played. We were friends. My father said, don't eat over there. That was all. I was allowed to go to the house. I had a friend in Laurelton. You ever hear of Laurelton? There used to be a lot of Jews there. Rabbi Amenik, Olav Shlomo's the Rav over there. There was a shul. There was a lot of Jews near where the Rebbe's buried, near the oil. And I had a friend in Laurelton, and we were very good friends. My father never discouraged us from being friends. They weren't from. The parents wanted him to yeshiva, that they weren't from. And very nice. He was a very nice boy, and he used to come. My father liked him. He used to come to our house, and he used to come for a Shabbos. And my father liked him. My father said, "It was never an inn. You just don't eat. Be careful with what you eat. That's all. That was the only thing he said. Be careful what you eat. And that was it." And he told it to me once. It wasn't like every time before I went. Did you eat? And I'm going to put a camera. You have to take with you. And I'm going to. My father just said, "You understand it. They're not so careful." So. And he always told me to try not to embarrass him. They whatever. But that was at one time. Again, there was the whole inning was like that. And we all played together. And we had friends. And I had on my block. I told him many times, I had Chinese friends on my block. The same thing. We were all good friends. My father said, don't go into the house. That's all. Don't go into their house. Because there's all kinds of desires in the house. Which I taught at one time. I just went a little bit and I looked. It was scary that all kinds of, they had talk about desires and stuff. But my father just said, don't go into the house. You can't talk to the kids. You can't play ball with them. But not anymore. No. Because what? Because my kid might become not from this other kid. And there, I'm not saying this is not a problem. Like, Kilo, there's no danger. But the reason why is that? Why is it that your kid can't talk to somebody that's not from? Because it's an Nisayon. Because this kid might say something that's not exactly the way that you taught the kid. And therefore what? Fafal. You're going to lose them. They're in this kind of life. Your kid's going to hear stuff that's not the way that he was taught. That's just how it is. As much as you're going to try to insulate and isolate, he's going to be exposed to stuff that's not what he was taught. And if he doesn't develop the skills and the muscles to be able to contend with those things, that's when he's going to start going off. But you might not notice it right away. It might be while he's from and he's married, but inside of his head, or in things that he's doing on the side that his wife doesn't see, he's losing. Because he's a loser. Not God forbid from the beginning, but he was taught to be a loser. Because he was taught that he can't win. He can't win. You just have to avoid. It's all avoidance. It's not winning. It's never about winning. It's never about winning. It's always about avoiding. And just like life, you can't avoid stuff. That's just how it is. So it's never about winning. It's never about being strong. It's about how to avoid. And avoidance is something which is impossible. Okay, Be'ez HaShem, we'll continue.